brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going, so crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome to another edition of the Green Legion Radio Players Show here on Fox Sports The Gambler 102.5 in Philadelphia. Please rate, review, subscribe, download the show on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio, or the simplest thing to do is just download that iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide, which you can listen to us. If you're following us on StreamYard right now, go to the iHeartRadio app, and you'll be able to listen to us. That way you're not getting any of that background noise that actually normally comes with a Green Legion Radio show. That's what we're best known for. But, hey, tonight is a Quimby-less, tankless evening here at the Finn.
Oh, God.
Down here in Fishtown.
Good evening.
If you guys aren't doing anything, make sure you guys come on down and hang out with us. Did I say tankless? Because I do believe we're going to have some version of tank time here this evening with our very own producer Slash. Let's just hope that Tank is not listening, because I'm sure he's not going to be thrilled with what we do. But, you know, when you have the ability to just up and leave whenever you want to, like Tank and Quimby do, who are friends, teammates, and lovers, and just leaving us high and dry to do this show without them, we have the ability right now to roast them as much as we want. So,
as we were saying before the show, the fans have voted. The Green Legion Radio fans have voted. The most popular and the most favorite episode we've ever had was during the dark pandemic times, when those two cut their feed from Costa Rica, didn't go through, and the four of us here had a good time at their expense.
Completely destroyed. Yes. Mainly, like, I don't even say we destroyed Tank. We destroyed Quimby for about a half hour, and I've never seen so much activity as what we did. But nonetheless, let's go ahead.
They were checking in from Costa Rica?
No. Well,
they were part of the show.
Right, so they were hosting.
They were hosting
Costa Rica.
Yes,
Costa Rica,
yeah,
right.
So Quimby decided to go to Costa Rica for 3 or 4 months, and what he did was he decided to uproot down there. So we had to do the shows based off of him and Tank, them in Costa Rica. So what Quimby decided to do was he thought it would be cool. Hey, I've got Hollis Tank Thomas and former all-pro cornerback Lito Shepherd here. Why don't I bring in this 18, 19-year-old paddleboarder, and we're going to do a whole segment with her. Like, we're all sitting there like, what the heck? What, exactly. So we're all sitting there like, what the heck is this? So then, luckily, God decided to shut the power out in Costa Rica, and which probably saved her or her mom from having to be with Quimby that evening.
I never laughed harder.
Oh, no. I think we're all splitting our sides. But let me introduce the panel. I'm your host this evening, Chris Sack, sitting alongside an esteemed panel of my colleagues here. I have my producer, Kyle Slash the Gobbler. Not a maker. Slash, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
This is beautiful. We're going to have some fun here. We're going to have some fun here tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
We need fun.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because we're going to talk birds, and listen, we're going to talk down about the birds and the game from the other day, and we're going to look forward to the Jets game. But Diaz is in the house, which means you know we got to talk Sixers. I'm in the house, which means you know we got to talk about the Flyers and the Phillies, and I'm not happy. There will be a sack attack here happening tonight at the Finn, so you need to know. And I just tease who the next person here on the panel is. My co-host on the Ice to Shorts summer/winter sports podcast show, Michael Shut Up Diaz. Michael Diaz, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. I had an amazing holiday weekend, and then
and
I was going to cap it off with a big Birds win against the Giants, and they crapped the bed, but luckily we have our good friend coming up here is Dave.
We'll be introducing him as well.
He's got a lot of explaining to do.
But we're going to skip over Dave real quick, because also in the house, sitting on the sixth mic this evening, as we wait on our guest, our player guest this evening, Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton, who we're not sure if he's going to be here in this 5 minutes?
5:50.
Perfect. All right, sounds great. So we're going to have him for the second hour. So we're going to dive into everything else. You know, some Eagles here in the first hour, but we're going to dive into everything else before Alex gets here for the second hour. But sitting at the end of the table, the head of the table, I'm not going to take responsibility for that this evening, it is Sam, Super Sam Brady. Sam, I know you have a special shout-out that you'd like to give to some... You didn't even know what his name was at first.
No, I know it.
Typical Sam story.
I wrote it down. Joey sits a couple rows behind me at the Eagles game in section 113, 114. and he is a big fan of the Eagles. He's a really intense kid, and I just, everything he does, I look back, and he's ready for it. So I just wanted to say hi to him today.
So Diaz says that you're a stalker, Sam, but those that want to stalk Sam, now you know where she sits at the link every Sunday for Eagles home games. That's speaking true. Of Eagles home games, we have with us, as we do every single week, and this is the first time I've seen Dave in a few weeks, but Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. Spuds, how are you doing this evening,
buddy? I'm doing great. Glad to be here, and very tough loss, you know. I think we can talk about. Feel like we need to get a little bit off our chests.
Just
at
a
the
little
top,
bit. Absolutely.
But I'll just say, like Diaz, there's not a lot to explain. I mean, the Eagles turned the ball over four times and still had a chance at the end of the game to make the play. Didn't happen. That's why you lose. I mean, like Jalen Hurts was, as he said, made bad decisions, and hopefully it's just one of those games. But what's interesting to me, it's a measuring stick. Okay. Because later that night, the Baltimore Ravens played the exact same game. Quarterback threw four, Lamar Jackson threw four interceptions. They found a way to win.
Good football team, too.
This team needs to learn how to win when it's just an ugly, ugly game. And that may only happen once, maybe twice a year. But the teams that win those games, that really elevates you in the standings. Because at the end of the year, you never go, well, you look back and go, oh, well, that game was ugly. That wasn't as nice a win. All you care about is how many wins you have. So that's the challenge. So, look, I mean, it was really frustrating to watch. It was I felt like the Eagles were the much better team in all three phases, and that Jalen Hurts made uncharacteristic mistakes, and Jalen Reagor had chances at the end of the game and unfortunately couldn't make the plays.
Absolutely. And before we dive in
and
further,
Boston Scott also, by the way, Boston yes. Scott also, yeah, who's our guy,
minute 30,
right? Love
yeah.
them all, but. You know, can't turn the ball over.
Giant
there.
Killer, Boston Scott.
Yeah.
But he killed us with that turnover as yeah. well. And we'll dive right into that. A couple Green Legion announcements here. Sign up for the Giants tailgate for the day after Christmas game on December 26th, 8 to noon. All you can eat and drink, plus the Green Legion Radio pregame show from 10 to 11, along with myself, Michael Shut Up Diaz, Dr. Reverend Irving Fryer, Hollis Tank Thomas and Quimby. Make sure you guys stop on down there at 1100 Social at Xfinity Live and hang out with us before that game, the day after Christmas show. It'll be a lot of fun. And there should be some spots left. Diaz might know more than I would, or Connie's in the house, so actually she just showed up. There probably is some spots left for the D.C. bus trip on January 2nd.
A handful
in the club box. What are you waiting for? It's going to be a lot of fun. But then again, you really might want to wait on that, because if you saw what happened at FedEx Field last night, you saw that it happened again. Another pipe busted inside one of the club boxes. So we're in danger at FedEx Field on January 2nd, but we'll have a lot of fun there, too. And Green Legion Radio was also brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, Stateside Vodka, MCS Residential, and MCS Custom Cabinetry. The Next Sip, Cavs Restaurants, Delilah's, City Fitness Philadelphia, Echelon Health and Fitness, Bucks County Baseball Company, the King of Prussia Diner, Cherry Hill Triplex, Dave Bavuso State Farm, The Fin, which is where we do all of our players' shows, and we're here again this evening, and they are set to open for good on December 9th, so make sure you guys get your reservations in and come down and hang out that evening. I think Jeff was talking about before the show getting some media credentials to be here for that, so I'm also hoping that we also have a tab for that evening as well, but we'll see. And TwinSpires, our sports book of choice here at the Green Legion. Download the app, deposit $10, and get $250 worth in free bets. All right, guys, listen, I know Dave was kind of diving into it with the Eagles
That's
and Giants
all.
Game.
That's all.
No, it's okay. No, we're going to dive a little bit further into the game now here in the first segment. Brutal 13-7 loss this past Sunday against the Giants at MetLife Stadium. Slash, I want to bring you in here. I was listening after me and Irving did the Green Legion Radio pregame show the other day. I was listening to you and Harry Mays on my way home, and he said it best. You said it, but he was chiming in along with it. He set you up. It's like volleyball. He set you up, and you spiked it.
Oh, yeah.
You felt too good about going into that game. You felt too good about it to where it wasn't comfortable enough for you to feel that good about an Eagles team going into a game like against the Giants. Obviously, you knew we were a better team, but we didn't play that level that day. Why don't you talk a little bit further about that, man? Because you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, and as a Philadelphia sports fan, you always get that little inkling when you're real confident about a game. There's always that little thing in the back of your mind where you're like, should I be this confident about a game? Because it always, 99% of the time, it comes down to the result that happened on Sunday. You put up a little bit of a dud And, you know, you kind of have to put this team in perspective as they are coming off a four-win season. So maybe it was a little too big to think that they had a chance of winning out and maybe securing the division after such a hot start that Dallas had. So overall, I think, I was a little too confident in that game itself and the rest of their schedule.
Spuds looks like he wants to jump
in. I heard that a lot from a lot of fans last week about, quote-unquote, running the table. And, I mean, I get it for fans, right? You always think ahead. I mean, I'm so trained to never do that because...
Absolutely not.
Right?
No.
Right? So I mean, I get it for fans. Like, you can't. And, like, 5 weeks earlier, the Eagles people were talking about the Eagles like, okay, we're going to get a top five pick. And now all of a sudden we're running the table.
Yeah.
Like this team still has a lot to learn, a long way to go before you can feel that way. The only time I really felt ever like that was like all those Andy Reid years when the team was when there were five NFC championship games, and then 2017 when we were romping everybody.
Yeah.
This team needs to learn how to get to the I get it why how the fans felt that way.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that because the Eagles have turned it around this year. Everybody's excited about the team. It was just that mentality. I'm always so superstitious that I hate hearing that we're going to run the table.
Yeah, and I just want to finish my thought process
before
because there's fans out there that are like, oh, we should run the table. We should be. I was saying, you know, there's a chance they could have run the table. It would be surprising. It would be really nice. But then I go back to my point. This was a four-win team last year. So you can't sit there and say they're going to make that big of a leap in one season.
Yes.
That said, and it is not fair to any team, even a team at the top of the league, to run the table and win six in a row. But come on, man. Like, this was like – I was saying if they go 4-2, that would be great.
Yeah,
and that would be – that's a good, realistic thing. But
lose one to Washington.
Maybe one
maybe
of
the Dallas game if it means something for them at the end of the
maybe
season.
Maybe one of the Giants games, too.
Yeah, it's just, that's where I thought it was going to be, too.
But we own that game. The defense really stepped up. The defense did a great job. They haven't – you know, and that's a bad team. The Giants are a bad, bad team. They are a bad team. They're badly – they're poorly coached. They don't know what they're doing. They have a bad quarterback. They couldn't score any points.
How sad was that, though?
Did you
see all those empty seats? And it was Strahan.
Lots
it was Strahan's number retirement day.
By the way, that halftime ceremony, as somebody who does halftime ceremonies, that was the one of the weirdest ones. He was not prepared at all. He, like, thanked his mom for being born. It wasn't five will always love you esque, but it was.
Which one was more awkward?
Well, I mean, Donovan, I was. It
Come
was,
on, Dave, be honest with me.
Donovan tried to create a nice bridge to the fans because I think that we would all agree that during his time here, while he was a great quarterback, there
very
was
polarizing.
Still, there was still yeah for sure. So I think Donovan tried, but Strahan looked like he just hopped off a jet stream, you know, a Gulf Stream from L.A.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. In his defense, he was probably coming from one of his 75 jobs.
You're getting your jersey retired. Don't work that much.
Yeah, exactly. And he's planning on going to space.
He's,
so.
He's been hyping that up for weeks, though. This wasn't a new thing. They announced it on Good Morning America over a month ago. Then he was on the show, the morning Fox Morning show or whatever. They talked about it.
It was like
week.
The middle of the pregame show.
Right. I just don't think he prepared. I was sitting there having like a bite to eat at halftime in the press box with somebody from New York. We were going, what is he saying here? It was bizarre. It was anyway. I digress.
Almost as bizarre
but the point is, there were a lot of empty seats there. The Giants fans are big time down. The only way the Giants could have won that game is that the Eagles turned the ball over four times
and dropped passes
and dropped the passes
and made bad decisions.
I mean,
what bad decisions?
Well, throwing the interception
at the end of the half. Whoa, man.
That goes under the category
turnover
of
margin.
Turnovers, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Watching that game, David, what's disappointing is it looked like they haven't. You said it last week. Oh, they got an identity now and they're running the ball. We'll talk about the running versus pass stuff, but I mean, you know, a lot of fans are upset that they didn't go run heavy till the second half. But I mean, the Giants are a bad team. If you can't pass against the Giants. You know, they're not the worst team in the league, but they're a bottom six.
They have one of the best corners in the game in Bradbury. But outside of that, what else do you really have?
They lost to Dory Jackson. I mean, Jalen Hurts is knowing Jalen, he's over it now, of course, but he beat himself up because he knows he's a much better quarterback than that. If he had only played, you know, a decent first half, we're still ahead by 10 points. Right?
Right. I mean, what was he? 14 for 31. You don't have to throw a lot. He doesn't have to be, 350 yards a game. I mean, that would be wonderful and great, but it's not unreasonable expectation. But just the decisions, the one look reads, I was arguing, of course, in the place that everyone argues, Twitter.
Why would you?
That even some these completions aren't good passes. Like he's not at, he's throwing. There was a who was it? It was Gainwell in the last drive, I think.
Yeah, the flat routes.
Yeah, and he threw it behind him, and Gainwell had to adjust, and he made the play. But if he throws it to him where it's supposed to be, he gets an extra 5 or 6.
He just
yards.
Didn't look comfortable all day. He just didn't play well. He knows it. Let's hope that every quarterback is going to have games like that, right? The better ones only have one of those games a year. The best guys. Aaron Rodgers has a crappy game every now and then. Patrick Mahomes has a crappy game.
Lamar Jackson, like you
said, Lamar Jackson had four interceptions. So
almost the same stat line.
Look, we all said this at the beginning of the year. What are you looking at all season? The coach and the quarterback, right?
Right.
So let's step back for a minute. What do you guys think of the coach after 12 games?
I like the fact that he adjusted. Now, a lot of people might want to say that it took him too long to adjust, but I think he learned his lessons from the beginning of the season and figured out what this team could really do. I didn't like the game plan for this past weekend, but listen, if you see something, listen, he's the one that watches the film all the time, right? I mean, I'm just a fan, and I'm lucky enough to be able to do the show and host the show just like the rest of us are. But this guy knows what he can get away with against a certain team and what he can't get away with. And everyone says, oh, well, they didn't run the ball enough. They ran over for 200 yards.
Everybody always says that. It's like the dumbest. Like, stop just – can you think a little bit more about the game? Like, there's other things than just running the ball. But, okay, keep going about the coach.
No, I think Nick has done a good job this season for what he has. When you're the chef, you can only do so much with the ingredients that you have in the kitchen. And we know that this team is bereft of talent to a certain point.
I don't know about that.
No, I'm saying to a certain point, though. Look at the playmakers, right?
I mean, don't know. You got a stud tight end. You got a good – one really good wide receiver.
But they're not really being.
Until that game. Well, go ahead.
Okay. No, but that's part of the problem, though. It's like, Devontae Smith in this past game, 2 catches, 22 yards. You had Goddard had 1 catch for no yards. I mean, that's a problem. We need to get them more involved.
Okay, that's a good point. So let me ask you a couple questions. Diaz, go ahead. Tell me what you think of Nick.
I think that he is caught between a hard place of being a first-year coach, wanting to do his things, and being limited in the playbook.
And the fan base wanting to win.
And wanting to win, too. I give him credit.
Expectations have changed.
I give him credit for adjusting to the talent that he has and the strengths of the team, but I think that he is being a little handcuffed with Hurts' inaccuracy and his lack of arm strength.
All right, Slash?
I agree with Sack. I think Nick's doing a good enough job as he can with the ingredients that he has. And, it showed the last couple weeks, which this team's a running powerhouse with the quarterback they have at hand. They're not going to be able to throw the ball 40, 50 times with Jalen Hurts. So I think he's doing a decent job with what he's dealt.
Okay, Samantha?
I'd say he's doing okay for what he has to work with. I think he needs time.
Okay. Okay, can I ask about some other categories that we've judged coaches in the past? How many timeouts does Nick burn?
Next to none.
No.
How's his clock management?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
How is his use of personnel?
I guess he can't design every single target. But
my only gripe is the fact that we left Jordan Howard on the practice squad for as long as we did.
And how are his in-game adjustments? You'd say pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So the only real complaint is that he's
not
winning enough games.
And the
press conference.
Yeah, the press conferences always tend to be like the be all end all with the fan base.
You judge a coach in the long term.
X's and O's.
It's a long term evaluation, and I'll give you a great example. Joe Judge, the Giants at the end of the last season, loved Joe Judge. Joe Judge 6-10 record. The Giants are on the way. Now they stink. Right? Gettleman's going to get fired. Joe Judge is like, nobody likes him.
Well, so he's going to get fired because Gettleman gets fired, right?
It's such a long evaluation process that it's hard. It's really hard to balance it between, I want to win this week as a fan, and the team, of course, wants to win. I want to win this week, but I also sometimes have to step back and evaluate it from a big picture.
Who was the guy on the Giants, the head coach for the Giants that they fired in year two? It was the guy from the
McAdoo.
Yeah. Everybody wanted Ben McAdoo.
We wanted Ben McAdoo, yeah.
Everybody wanted him.
And then up where Ben McAdoo is right now.
He was fired in year two. Sam, you got something real quick?
The chat room's asking why we didn't just kick that field goal.
What field goal?
At the end of the first half.
At the end of the first half.
Because he threw an interception. He had 8 seconds on the clock. He took too long to get rid of the football, make a decision, and then he threw an interception.
I think what they said, why don't we just kick the field goal instead?
Because 8 seconds is plenty of time to run a play.
I understand. If he did that, then he deserved criticism.
I understand that.
I'm just reading. I'm just reading.
That's
for
what
the
question was. Yeah, and he's got to have. That's another. Not even the decision to throw that ball. The decision to start scrambling around, like, if it's not there in 2 seconds, throw it away.
And what we'll do is we're going to, when we come back, I want to get the chat room more involved. So, Sam, you're in charge of that when we get back. But first of all, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services for over 50 years. Full family care for the entire family, prenatal, pediatrics, adults, specialty services, and more. COVID-19 vaccine and testing available. 11 locations throughout Philadelphia, over 85,000 patients, telehealth and on-site appointments available. Schedule an appointment today, 1-888-296-GPHA. Website for more information on services and a complete listing of locations, www.gphainc.org. Make sure you guys check them out today. Coming up on the next side here in the second segment, we're going to prepare you guys a little bit more for our special guest, Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton, who's set to join us for the second hour. And we're going to dive a little bit further into this Giants game with you on our StreamYard. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are Green Legion Radio, the Players Show. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Green Legion Radio Players Show here at the Finn in Fishtown. You guys aren't doing anything. We're going to be here until 7 o'clock this evening. Alex Singleton is going to join us for the second hour. Come on down, have a drink, and have some food, man. The food is fantastic. We've been doing the sampling of the food for weeks over here, and they are set to open up for good on December 9th. So make sure you guys come on down here tonight and hang out with us. But at the same time, make sure you guys are here on opening night on December 9th. It's going to be a lot of fun getting the ball rolling here. I'm Chris Sack, also known as Sackmaster to some of you out there, and not everybody, but you know,
Reggie Hoo-Ha-Ha.
I'm not going to put that out there. Sitting alongside Kyle slash the Gobbler, Nunnemaker, Michael Shut Up Diaz, the host of your Eagles Insider podcast, Dave Spadaro, and Super Sam Brady. Dave, let's get to the injury report, please.
Yeah, the Eagles officially put Jack Driscoll on IR today, and so he's done for the season. Brett Toth comes up from the practice squad to fill the roster spot. And then we're waiting on Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts, who was limping after the game. We'll find out a lot more about that tomorrow, but I feel hopeful.
The one that I'm most concerned about that I think everyone was, Jason Kelce.
Back in the game.
No, I know he came back in the game, but I mean, it takes a lot for him to be removed from the game. So he came back in after some holding penalties by our.
I would imagine he wouldn't practice all week. Rest him up, but Jason like plays through everything.
It's unbelievable.
He played at such a high level after he came back from the injury, so usually that's a pretty positive sign.
Future Eagles Ring of Honor, whatever
we call it, the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, and future Philadelphia Mayor Jason.
I don't think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer yet. He's only got, what, three or four?
He has three all pros.
Well, you know what? You're fired.
But everybody else that, I think all the other centers that are all pros three times are in the Hall of Fame. And I think right now, as things are going, he's lining up for another all pro this year.
Yeah, and if he goes in during a year where there's a weaker class, it will help a lot. It really, because once you get lost in the wash a bit, then your vote totals go down. So hopefully when he's eligible, hopefully he plays for three or four more years. Who knows? Two or three more years. One or two more years, however long. Then if he's all Pro Bowl these years, he will absolutely be a strong candidate. But I don't know right now. I don't know.
So with Jack Driscoll's injury, what intrigues me is the fact that Brandon Brooks hasn't returned yet. And they haven't even opened up his practice window.
Correct.
I think Nick said yesterday that they'll have a better idea after the bye week.
Correct.
So, Dave, you're down there. Is there anything, any information? Is he in the facility?
He's in every meeting. He's doing all that. You know, a pectoral injury doesn't allow you to lift. So I don't know the state of his strength. I don't know if he's going to play this year or not.
Slash, do you have a pectoral injury?
Do you have a pectoral?
Is that your reason for not lifting?
No, I think I think Slash is lactating because he's drinking the type of juice that your wife does, apparently.
Body armor, the only person that didn't lift anything today was you, Diaz.
Listen.
He's too busy. I'm
beauty and talent. That's what I'm here for.
I'm not a part of the union.
I don't have a union.
Yeah, wait until after the show when Diaz just magically disappears and the rest of us are cleaning everything
up. We've got
up.
The lovely ladies from Philly's Finest here. I won't disappear that quick.
Is Abby listening right now?
No!
Abby Diaz. I'm going to hit her up right
She's
now.
She's feeding our child right now.
Yeah, and which gives you all the more reason not to go over there and hang out with Philly's Finest.
No, it gives you every bit of reason to hang out with Philly's Finest.
And I
let... Don't be bad influence, Dave.
I shouldn't say let, but I passed the Sixers tickets to her to bring a friend. The two of them, they had a ladies' night at the Sixers last night. So I deserve a little...
You're a good man.
I deserve a
she
reward.
She let you go to Denver for 3 days a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but that's, you know... Yeah, I mean,
at least you can do is give her tickets to a Magic game.
These are all details that don't need to be considered as part of it.
Dave, so obviously if Jalen Hurts is going to miss this game...
Stop.
I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
There's enough confidence in the fact that the Eagles traded away Joe Flacco that Minshew will be able to come in and play.
Yeah. I think everybody, don't you believe that? Gardner Minshew started 20 games in his career.
He's played very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want Jalen Hurts to play. But I will tell you, there is something about a guy that has a mullet and jorts that is pretty exciting for Minshew mania. So,
outside of WWE.
Well, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena had pretty good livings wearing jorts.
But they didn't have the mullets.
They did not have the mullets.
Yeah, there you go.
No. That was the 93 Phillies.
Well, Jalen Hurts, stop saying that he's not playing. I am rocketing Jalen Hurts up to the top of the fantasy leaderboards right now.
I think it's a topic of conversation. And listen, he killed
his left ankle, they said, right?
Killed
right
him.
Ankle?
I don't know which ankle. But I think he's...
We don't need to dabble too far into it.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth, stressing over it.
Yeah. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play, and we need him to play. You know, after that performance, I want to see him correct it.
He doesn't want to sit for 3 weeks, and before he has a chance to play again, he will go crazy. So hopefully, the ankle's fine.
Absolutely. All right. So look, we're not going to talk any more about the Giants game until Alex joins us.
Let's move on. Turn the
hour.
Page.
So, but we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about the upcoming Jets game with him. We're going to get to know him a little bit better. We're going to do Kick-Ass to Jackass while he's here. We're going to have some fun, but. So we're going to take this right now, this opportunity. We don't get this opportunity much, Diaz, to talk about the other teams in the city.
Ah, yes.
So I want to,
in a reasonable manner.
I want to start it off because obviously something's going to happen with me tonight to where I'm not going to be too happy about the Flyers or the Phillies. So let's talk about the Sixers. Let's start off there.
All right. Well, last night they played at home versus Orlando. Embiid came back on Saturday, looked really rusty and really slow. Still had 42 points, 14 boards, and a double overtime loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Which was the longest recovery from COVID for any athlete over the last year and a half.
Not really. I mean, he was cleared after 16 days. Thibault was cleared after 16 days. They didn't go to the last game on the road trip.
Do you believe that... I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay? But I kind of want to lean towards the Sixers kept him out just a little bit longer to let that knee heal up.
I'm sure of it.
Do you think that's possible?
Well,
they just
didn't
want to say that he had like a legit knee injury because you could tell it was affecting him. And then you know, he fails a COVID test and it's like, okay, cool, we're going to keep him out for X amount of time. But they didn't want to say that about the knee. It was just, let's rest him a little bit more and we'll bring him back when we come back home from the road trip.
I think it's more of getting him ramped back up. I mean, I was arguing this with my buddies this morning who are just like devastated that they won.
What do you call
yesterday.
Them again?
Buddies.
No,
not the MBZs, the mouth-breathing zombies. Those are my Flyers fans,
No,
buddies.
I thought you called them something else.
Oh, the Axis of Evil.
Yeah, the Axis of Evil. There you go.
I have a name for these these three clowns. They're my
guys. Buddies?
They were going nuts today. They thought that AB was going to get fired. They're the ones that told me.
Buddies.
But we'll see how long it takes. You know what they look like? They look like a team that hasn't played together in 3 weeks. Maxie, who has been on fire, easily the best player on the team the last 2 or 3 weeks.
He's been the only player on the team the last 2 or 3 weeks.
He looks uncomfortable with Embiid back, deferring to Embiid, not just doing his thing and making sure that the big guy gets his, which he should. I mean, he's the best player on the team. At the same point, it's going to take Embiid a while to get ramped up. Last year, Jason Tatum, these are just other players. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the same. It took Tatum like 3 or 4 months to get back together. It took Seth Curry last year when he came back from COVID. Now, this is all before the vaccine. It took him 2 or 3 weeks before he felt like he had his legs underneath him. You know, Embiid was, who knows if he was embellishing or not.
It's Embiid.
Yeah, yeah. He said, oh, I didn't think I was going to make it. But yeah. But even when he first had it, at the same time, when he was first, out, Tobias was out at the time, too. And Doc Rivers had said they both got it real bad and they're not feeling good. So who knows? Who knows? They got a tough schedule coming up. We'll talk about the Flyers.
Where are they at in the standings right now, TS?
Are
they still in the play-in game?
No, they have the 8th seed. Now, the difference between them and the first seed is 3.5 games. The East is it's a different year.
It's compacted.
It's compact. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of people that are injured on all the teams, not just us.
The Bucks have been mortal this year. Oh, geez, Sam. Yeah, the Bucks have been mortal this year. You know, the Nets are playing without Kyrie Irving,
and they just lost Joe Harris for
foot injury.
Yep. So
the Eagles insider Dave Spiro does not just do injuries.
I'm
for
a
your
huge,
Philadelphia Eagles.
I was at the game last night, and I'm a huge fan of the Sixers. I'm a huge fan of the NBA. I listen to NBA Sirius Radio all the time, like constantly. And everybody, you know, the thing about the league is it seems to me, first of all, trades can be made in December 15th, and everybody's just trying to feel what they are, right? Like, it's not so. And the Sixers, to me, they're just a team right now. There's really nothing, other than Embiid, there's nothing really distinguishable about their style of play. Seth Curry, if he's good, it's great, but he hasn't been really good. Tyrese Maxey, good, but at the end of the games, certainly the one on Saturday, bad decisions. And so, I mean, they have a long way to go to find out what they are, and there's that elephant in the room of what are you going to do with Ben and how are you going to fill that void? They're not physical. They're just not. I mean, Andre Drummond is like the greatest backup rebounding center
he's
ever seen.
He's like a
terrible offensively.
What a tip in!
What
too.
A great tip in!
Yeah, that was a fantastic brick by Tyrese Maxey, and then the great job by Doc with the substitution on that one. But Diaz. Real quick, and then Dave, you could chime in as well. Like, what is the end game here with Ben? I mean, are they waiting for December 15th when you can actually trade those players that were signed to extensions in the offseason? Like, are we looking to the trade deadline? Or, hey, listen, we heard what Daryl Morey said. He'll run this course for 4 years. I highly doubt he's going to do so. But what is the end game here?
I think this is what Morey said, and he's been pretty consistent this whole time what he's saying. And one of the knocks against Daryl Morey, and certainly against our good friend, our Lord and Savior Sam Hinkie, was that they all the nuts and bolts and the numbers and the analytics, they are great with that. They build great teams, but they're not the best at recognizing the personalities, ego, character.
Fitting a team?
No. Fitting a team as far as the players, but their personalities and stuff like that. He could be very cold-hearted. And I think when he came here, he took the job because they had Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And this is not a Ben Simmons defending thing. I don't think that they really wanted to trade Ben Simmons. Now, if you could trade him for James Harden or Dame Lillard or someone of that ilk, they're going to pull that trigger all the time.
Do you believe there's an actual list of 30 players that they'd be willing to trade him for?
I bet.
30 players. I mean, that's a lot, man.
That's
a lot of players.
But some of them are like, you put James Harden at the top where it'd be Ben Simmons and other stuff to get him. And at the number 29 and 30, this would be, we'd be willing to trade Ben Simmons for that guy and their other stuff. I don't think it's not a one-for-one thing. It's like,
you're talking about like if a team has players 20 and 30, that they would trade Ben Simmons for 20 and 30. But
maybe,
obviously, if you want a top five guy, you're going to have to give up Ben and other crap.
Right. Like, I could imagine De'Aaron Fox is like number 28, where they will trade for De'Aaron Fox, but they want De'Aaron Fox 2 first-round picks.
Isn't De'Aaron Fox kind of what you already have in Maxey? Like, right now, I think what you're finding out about Maxey.
100%.
Yeah, like, you're finding out what you have in Maxey. if you're going to trade Ben, initially your thought process was that you were going to trade Ben for another point guard. Now, if it's Dame Lillard or Steph Curry or something like that, and I'm just throwing Steph's name out there for point guard purposes.
Yeah, right.
They're 18-2. He's not going anywhere.
Right. But they would trade him. They would trade him.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, if you get one of those ilks, like a, but right now, I mean, you're looking at other positions that you're trying to fill in on this team to where it rounds out, you know, your current starting lineup, which is Tyrese Maxey and Seth Curry and Tobias Harris. But
well, the thing
and
is,
Joel Embiid.
I took too long in making my point, so I'll try and be
which
a little
more
which is
standard succinct. Practice for you.
But the thing is what's the silver lining in all the season has been watching.
Is that your point's almost over?
Tyrese Maxey is progressing so quickly.
Into what, Diaz? A starting point guard?
Oh yeah,
on
for
a championship
sure.
team.
I don't know about that, but the disappointing thing is, I think that he's kind of the role that they envision Markelle Fultz being. With Simmons and Embiid. Now, listen, Simmons is not gonna stick around this team any longer. But if all of these stupid egos and everything weren't involved, and he could man up, what we need right now is really Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? Yeah, Dame Lillard would be great. James Harden would be great. You know,
I don't think James Harden would be great. I don't know why everybody says James Harden would be great. I don't want a guy who's gonna dominate the ball.
He defers in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I just feel like
he defers in Brooklyn because it's Durant.
Durant. Yeah, I mean he's best suited to dominate the ball.
He would be playing off Embiid, and Embiid would be playing off. James Harden would be great here.
I disagree. I don't think he play. I think he's old. I think he's not in shape. I don't think he's the kind of player the Sixers need.
Dave, Round is a shape.
Trust that?
Round is a shape.
Round is a
Dave,
shape.
Stop with the bad NBA takes and just stick with the bad Eagles takes.
No,
come on.
Just because you talk louder doesn't mean you know more. I would prefer like a really traditional. Let me think of a guy who I would. I don't think
Malcolm Brogdon. That's what you want. A guy that doesn't play defense. He could shoot a three.
I want somebody who's gonna. I would want Maxey with like 2 years more maturity.
Yes.
That's what I want.
I agree with that, but that's not realistic.
Right.
So, I mean.
Well, find me a guy with, like in the NBA who's Maxey with 2 years more maturity. Not De'Aaron Fox.
No.
Somebody a little bit bigger.
But.
Somebody who can play D in the playoffs, half-court defense.
Right. What you want is Ben Simmons, a dialed-in Ben Simmons who's not afraid to shoot. That's what you want. That's what we all want.
Well, that's unrealistic, too.
Right. I know.
You know what's not unrealistic is the fact that you're fired as our Sixers insider and Dave is now hired here at Green Legion Radio because he is like a great neighbor, and that's why life is full of surprises, some good, some not so good. That's why your State Farm agent is there with good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates for everyone. Yep, that's right. At State Farm, you get great service and great rates with every policy so you can be prepared for all life surprises. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Avuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up in the next segment, I think we're going to touch a little bit on the Flyers and the Phillies. Do we have to? I guess we have to here on Green Legion Radio, the Players Show, leading you into our second hour with Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton. Make sure you guys don't go anywhere here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Hanson for the music this evening. The only thing missing is Creed. Welcome back to the final segment here in our first hour, leading you into the second hour with Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton.
Starting linebacker again.
Dave, is it cool if I ask him about that?
Yes.
All right, cool. All right. Sometimes you never know.
It's a good story of how a player reacts.
Yeah.
When his role changes.
And listen, we've had Alex on the show a couple times already. He's a great guy. And, you know, never want to ruffle anybody's feathers about it because I think he was starting when we had him on the show last time. And then it was like the week after that is where they went to Davion. So I would love to touch with him on that in the next hour. But we're going to have some more fun here. Normally on Green Legion Radio, the player show or any type of show that you get that involves Tank, except the pregame show. We don't do Tank time on the pregame show. So, you know, everything
I'm a
is
man
always,
and I win.
Yeah, it's good things, mazel mazel. I'm a man and I win. And, you know, normally poking Dave to the point where he takes his headset off and he wants to strangle Tank, which was the last time I saw Dave. But we do have Tank joining us from wherever on the globe. Tank, thanks for joining us here.
Mazel mazel.
Yeah, so can you... Let's get a little bit of Tank time here. I want to know how many of these puppies we saw.
No, good evening. How's everyone doing today? Today is November 30th, 2021. It is the 334th day of the year. We got 31 of these puppies left. Notable events for today? Shut up when I'm talking to you. Pink Floyd released the 11th studio album, The Wall, in 1979.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. 1982, Michael Jackson released Thriller, another good one, notable one. Well, we have some tragedies. 2007, Evel Knievel passed away. big loss there. 2018, George H.W. Bush passed away as well. Some notable birthdays for you guys. Winston Churchill, 1874.
Any strippers there, Tank?
No, closest one I got is Mark Twain, 1835. Ben Stiller, great actor, one of my favorites. I sit and watch him after Maury on Monday through Friday. Bo Jackson, 1962. Dick Clark, we're coming up on the 345th anniversary.
Yeah, normally you call
New
Diaz
Year's
Dick
Roger.
Clark.
In the great Bill Walsh, 1931. Mazel, mazel, good things. I'm a man and I win. Back to you, Seth.
Oh, thanks, Tank. I really appreciate you joining
us.
Good
job, Tank.
Yes. I have no idea where you are at on the globe right now with Quimby, but I'm sure wherever you are, you're having a lot of fun.
Shut up. Oh, sorry.
Tank. Jeez. Let's keep it cordial here, all right? The deepest apologies.
Deepest apologies.
All right, sounds great. So thank you for that, Tank, and Tank Time here on Green Legion Radio, the Players Show.
Throat hurts.
We just talked a little bit about the Sixers, and I know Diaz wants to talk about the Flyers and the Phillies, and he wants to put my feet to the fire here. And
I do.
You know, Diaz, listen, I'm a weakened man right now. I'm a weakened man.
Well, I'm going to take it easy on you.
Please.
I'm
going to take it easy. I just don't have the strength.
And luckily, Sack, luckily for both of us, you and I weren't, we didn't know each other back 7 years ago when the process started and all that stuff and Hextall and all that.
I don't know. I didn't need to know you for Quimby to always post the video of you in your bathing suit, whatever the heck you guys were talking about the process.
It was
four and a half minutes.
It was an epic rant, and 75% of that was true. Or came true.
And 110% of you was drunk.
But this is what it. Let's start with the Flyers here. And I don't. The Flyers are my favorite hockey team. They're the only hockey team I follow. I don't follow the league. You know a lot more about the league. I love NHL playoffs.
It's the best.
I don't have anything personally against the Flyers. But what really grinds my gears
is the fans.
Is the fans and true with pretty much the other sports where I think the Flyers. For whatever reason, maybe you can explain it. They get a pass that my top favorite teams in town, the Eagles and the Sixers, any little thing, like, you know, we're talking about conspiracy moves about whether Joel Embiid was really, you know, COVID that it was that bad and we're going to hold him out. Everything's always, you know, probably a result of the process. But the Flyers always seem to get a pass here, and they're not winning.
They're not right now.
They're six-game losing streak. You were on this show. We did our own preseason show. You had promised me that the Flyers were making the playoffs.
I said
this
the
year.
Flyers were a fringe playoff team.
But you said they were going to make the playoffs here.
Listen to the tape.
And you said
fringe
all.
Playoff team.
And I said
as long as Carter Hart plays well,
and he's defense in front of him.
And the thing is, though, is Carter Hart has played very well. The sad part is this team can't score right now. I don't think they've scored more than two goals in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
It's true.
It's that right there is what this team is in a nutshell right now. They cannot score. They're
4 for 50 on their last.
Yes, their penalty kill over the last eight games has scored more goals or the same amount of goals as their power play, and that should not happen. It's an absolute disgrace.
So
what's going on with them?
Leadership?
No. I never like to point the blame at injuries, but a lot of that has to do with it right now. And another part of it might be the fact that the head coach is on the fryer right now. And we said it before we even got on,
Don't they change out their coaches a lot?
Every other year. Hockey does. Because it's not the players, it's always the coach.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, though, in years past where they have made those changes, the Flyers seem to turn it around pretty quick. They did it with John Stevens in 07-08. They did it when they fired John Stevens for Peter Laviolette, and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals that year.
Are you talking 15 years ago?
It's about 12.
That's what we have to talk about. Flyers.
I'm talking about the same stale core is what we're getting at. In-season firings that the Flyers do, they respond well to it. They fired Laviolette 3 games into a season. Craig Berube got him to the playoffs. They brought in Dave Haxtell. They fired him. They responded well. They just didn't make the playoffs that year with the interim guy that they brought in from the Phantoms. Hockey's weird that way. It just is. It, like, with certain head coaches, they have a very short shelf life. I mean, Mike Keenan's one of the best of his generation. But that guy, if he wasn't winning the Stanley Cup in 3 years, he was getting fired. And that's what the sad part is with Alain Vigneault, is within the first, like, 2 to 3 years where he's at a location, whether it's Vancouver or the Rangers, the third season is normally where they're hitting their stride as a team. And they're not doing that this year. They're going backwards. They're not going forwards. And I know it's easy to sit there and say, you know, okay, scapegoat the head coach and bring in somebody different. It's hard to move contracts in the NHL, especially when the Flyers are up against the salary cap the way they are. And a lot of these teams are. The real only, like, movement that they have for anybody, and he has a no-movement clause, is going to be Giroux. He didn't sign an extension.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh. I think I just had a heart attack.
Who else
Zach,
can they trade?
Suggesting they trade top five franchise player, Claude Giroux.
If it continues to go this way, that he might look at it as his option to go someplace else and have a shot at winning the Stanley Cup. But right now, the Flyers are only 5 points out of the fourth spot in their division. As much as they have gone downhill over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they've lost 6 games in a row, they're still kind of right there in that division of death, and we talked about that at the beginning of the season.
As somebody, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I know it's your segment, you guys, but like, if you were going to talk about the Sixers and the NBA, and we talk about how everybody's got to find, you know, find out what they are through the first 20, 25 games, isn't that the same thing in hockey? Because they really are not really jockeying. Like, if you get hot in hockey and you get into the playoffs, it doesn't matter whether you're a 1 seed or an 8 seed, right?
The Flyers were the 7 seed the year that they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. And in the Eastern Conference Finals, they played the 8 seed, the Canadiens. Yeah, you're right, Dave. It's hard to try and find out. And the sad part is the Flyers are missing two of their key pieces. They're missing their second-line center in Kevin Hayes with an abdominal injury. He missed a big portion of the beginning of the season because he had the hernia surgery that he had. And then Ryan Ellis played the first couple games, and then he was out. And he came back, he played one game, and then he was out again. And that's your number one defenseman to go along with Ivan Provorov in your first pairing. Missing those two guys has not helped much, but at the end of the day, there's no excuses. This team needs to perform better. They need to score more goals. They're pressing right now. And the only way that you're going to be able to do anything about that is they're going to have to make a change, whether it's the head coach or you have to fire the assistant coach that's in charge of the power play. Because right now, that's the reason why they're losing games. They're not scoring when they have the man.
Alex Singleton wants to weigh in on the Flyers'
Absolutely.
Power play.
Alex, do you care about
Alex
the Flyers?
I know that Alex is a hockey guy. Somewhere in your left, you had to be a hockey guy.
We were gonna.
Oh yeah,
he's bringing him on.
He is a big hockey guy.
Let's go,
ladies and gentlemen, joining us for the rest of this segment and for the full second hour, Eagles linebacker and special teams captain, Alex Singleton. Woo! What's going on, Alex?
So glad to have you.
Always good to be in here, you know.
Well, what's your take on the Flyers' power play?
You gotta score.
You gotta shoot the puck.
Sometimes it's that easy.
Wayne Gretzky once said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take."
I thought Michael Scott said Michael Jordan said that.
No.
No.
Okay.
Look at that. Sam's laughing at my jokes.
God.
She loves the dad humor.
All right, Diaz. What else do you have for me on the Flyers? We got a few minutes left here in the
second. Is it time to just blow it up? I mean,
good luck blowing it up.
It's mediocre. It's
tough.
10 years in a row of this. They're just not relevant. No one cares. You know, I mean,
we've been saying this every year. Blow it up, but they can't because of how poor the management's been dealing these no trade clause contracts.
So they're stuck with it. Let's just say this. It starts from the top. And right now, you don't know who is at the top with the Flyers, right? Like, you used to know. It was Ed Snyder. You knew Ed Snyder was pressing the buttons. What is it? I think it's Dave Scott with Comcast Spectacore. I mean, come on, dude. This guy is clueless. Clueless.
Kate Scott.
Thanks. No, this guy is absolutely clueless to what he's doing and how to run a hockey franchise. Chuck Fletcher was brought in here to not rebuild. He was brought in to retool, to make another run. They had their shot. COVID hit. They had their shot. They almost made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble. Didn't work out. And then they've tried to continue to put duct tape on, like a fish tank here, right? You put tape on a crack on a fish tank, it's not going to work. That's what the Flyers have continued to do instead of just taking the necessary avenues to make sure that this team was built for the future, not just for the now. That's what the Flyers continue to do. And you say that the fans aren't responding. The fans are responding. And they're responding in waves right now, especially from the season ticket holder fan base, which I'm a part of. When Black Friday came along and they were offering tickets for November 30th and all December, 50% off and no fees. Do you think the season ticket holder fan base was sitting there with their thumb in their rear end? No, they were not. They were expressing themselves all over Twitter, and Chris Terrian has been ripping the crap out of them the last couple weeks because of the debacle that was the alumni game that was terribly marketed. I was at that game. There was nobody there. And then they did the ceremony for Rick Tockett and Paul Holmgren with practically a quarter of the arena was filled. And that's a disgrace when you're putting two of your franchise legends into the Flyers Hall of Fame, and it's a quarter of the arena is filled. But, hey, we got to go to break here, so I'm going to do a live read real fast before we do. MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off your order regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Coming up in our second hour, Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton. Let's talk more about that Giants game. Right here on 102.5.
Oh, yeah, he's so psyched to talk about the Giants game.
102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
For the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Oh, we're talking, Jansen. Now we're talking. Yes. The theme music for CM Punk.
Cult of personality?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Now, do we blame Jansen or our program director, Sean Brace, for that, I think it was Our Lady Peace, Cumbersome, or whatever song that was?
Normally, I just point the finger right at Jansen because...
That was on my wall, I think.
That was yours?
Seven Mary Three, Cumbersome?
Seven Mary Three, that's it.
Welcome back to the second hour here on the Green Legion Radio Players Show here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. I'm Chris Sack, sitting alongside my producer, Kyle / Nunnemaker, Michael Shut Up Diaz, the host of your Eagles Insider Podcast, Dave Spadaro, Super Sam Brady, and joining us once again here on the Green Legion Radio Players Show is Eagles Insider, Eagles linebacker, Alex Singleton. What's going on, Alex?
What's up, guys? I might be an insider.
I know
what's
going on. Inside linebacker,
you know?
Hey, like, you do know what's going on. You are an insider.
I find out.
Well, we're going to find out some things from you, too, coming up here. But first, Moira McCabe wants to say, what's up, Alex? Great tackles this weekend. Proud you're an Eagle, positively impacting the youth.
That's great.
So she wanted to point that out.
Alex Singleton is a role model for everybody. Absolutely, 1,000%. We have an hour to talk about it.
Well, you know what, Dave? Real quick, because I know I asked Dave before you got here, Alex. The last time that you were on the show with us, you were starting at linebacker. And then shortly thereafter, they brought in Davion Taylor, who took over your spot, and then TJ Edwards took over the other spot for Eric Wilson. And now you're back to starting because Davion got hurt. And we're happy that you are starting once again. But... Talk about that. I mean, like, you know, to go from being a starter to, you know, back to being, you know, pretty much solely special teams and being in the mix with the linebacker core and now being back to a starter, that's awesome, man. And we're happy for you here at Green Legion Radio.
Yeah, you know, it's the NFL. I tell people all the time, one, it's a privilege anyways, you know, to be able to play this game and do it at this level. But, you know, you don't get to make any of the decisions upstairs in the building, you know, a lot of the times. And so... whatever the team wants to do, and, you know, I think our team talks about it a lot, is, you know, whatever the team thinks is the right thing to do to make the team better, you know, I'm going to be all for it and always be a team guy. And, you know, I kind of, you know, step back, and obviously, you know, something or, you know, whatever somebody saw that, you know, they wanted to have, you know, DT playing, you know, was something cool. Now I'm going to sit behind him. I'm going to, you know, make sure he's right. I'm still going to get, you know, the snaps I'm going to get, but then I'm going to, you know, go back and, you know, continue to do what I do well, which is obviously, you know, special teams, you know, the plays I got to play. And so to, you know, still take advantage of those and just always be ready, you know, obviously like I was, you know, the last 2 weeks to be able to do that. But, yeah, and, you know, it's a team game, and that's why I think it's the greatest team sport in the world. And if, you know, I've had a lot worse taken away from me, you know, in my career doing this. So, you know, if that's, you know, the worst thing that's going to happen to me in this season and, you know, adversity I'm going to face with this team and the guys that I'm around, you know, I'll do it every day to be on this team.
All right, let's take a deeper dive on that. How many reps were you getting when Davion was starting? How many defensive reps?
Between 10 and 20.
Okay, so you're still getting some reps. And then from a human side of it, how did you react deep down? Like, everybody always says in sports, and this is why I think that professional athletes are elite athletes and elite mentally elite people in that sense, that they, when you're dealt a negative, you can cry, you can, like, just
demand a trade.
It can beat you. In these days in professional sports, a lot of players are like, I want to get traded. How did you feel, honestly? Like, did you get pissed? Like, how did you feel?
Well, I mean, you're not happy. You know, I think the first thing, you know, you're not happy. But, you know, like I said, you know, I've done this a lot. I haven't had, you know, I wasn't a first round pick. I just, you know, I've been in Philly for 4 years. You know, I just think I walk on water. You know, I truly know how hard I've worked to be here, and I'm not going to let one day or one decision or something that is out of my actions define my career and define where I'm going to be, you know, in that season and, you know, that part of the year. So it's kind of, I had to decide, you know, if I'm going to, you know, if you were going to bring that bad attitude or do that, you know, I might not get traded. I might not do anything else. I would just probably be sent home to L.A. and I'd be at my parents' house, kind of just wondering, well, damn, did I want to do that? Or do I still want to be part of the team that, you know, every guy in here voted me to be a captain. Every guy, you know, knows how good I am at football.
They had that respect for you.
So am I going to throw that all away for, you know, an hour and a half every day to have a bad attitude and then go out there on Sundays, which a game I still love that I'm still getting to play.
Yeah.
You know, make that my priority, or make it a priority for me to continue to get better, continue to be ready. I mean, we play linebacker, probably, you know, one of those, you know, positions obviously we've seen where injuries happen. And if you're not ready to step in, which is the reason I was playing in the first place originally, you're just kind of throwing away your career. And like I said, in something I love. So it would just be a dumb personal decision to do that. And so, you know, obviously, you know, I kind of took 5 minutes, you know, called a couple of people, reflected on that, and it was like, all right, let's go to meetings and, you know, just become a better player.
And that's the thing, like, the ones who play the longest in the league, and I wish Tank were here to kind of share this, the ones who stay in the league the longest are the ones who come back and, like, they go, all right, the next time they have their chance, because you're always going to get another chance, they're ready to make the most of that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys, they let that defeat them, and then they never overcome that hurdle.
Now, I just have a real quick one for you, because, like, obviously there was probably a lot of aggression when that moment happened. The first dude that you got to tackle after that, I mean, did you feel sorry for him with all that pent-up aggression that you probably had from, like, man, I just lost my starting job. The next guy I see, I'm just going to destroy him. Like, did you have any gratification out of that?
No, I've had it so much worse. So, you know, to even, like, let it, you know, bother me, I think that would, you know, also put it down on you. Honestly, I went back in, you know, because Sean Bradley at that point and still is leading the league in special team tackles. And if you haven't voted, go online. Absolutely. Vote for Sean Bradley to be a Pro Bowler. However, for 3 weeks, I was a way better special team player than him. As long as he hears this, I know his dad's a listener, you know, so, yeah. Let him know. But please, Marcus, vote for Sean Bradley to be a Pro Bowler, because he deserves it, and I can go visit him in Vegas.
Talking about Sean Bradley leading the league in special teams tackles, our man on the panel today, I checked this morning, even with those couple games where the snap count wasn't high, number 8 in the NFL in tackles, my man Alex Singleton. So that is amazing. And you came back this game, you know, gotten all the snaps. 12 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, a pass defense. Is there anything else I'm missing? You were all over the field on Sunday. I mean,
right.
It was
8 tackles, 4 assists.
The defense as a whole, and you having a knack to get into to the ball carrier, it's kind of like the only nice thing to take away from on Sunday when everything else seemed to go bad. So, taking that opportunity, that was really awesome to see. You take control.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, and that what Dave said, you know, you're going to get another opportunity, and it's kind of, are you going to throw it away? Because, yeah, I really like this job, and this job plays pretty well. And I can, I could have, you know, relaxed on it, not cared, not prepared, and I would have gone out there, looked dumb, probably would have got, you know, a bunch of touchdowns scored on me, you know, would have had Philly burning my house down, and I would have been on a flight out of here.
And so, I'd be out. You'd be done.
You know, and that's the choice that I guess you kind of make as a person, and, you know, obviously I didn't want that to have happened. I wanted, you know, to come back and be like, that. All right, there he is. Sweet.
Let's talk, Alex, what was the locker room like after the game, and how has the team rebounded emotionally? Look, it's a playoffs. We're talking playoffs. So how's everything been from that standpoint?
You know, I think we felt like, you know, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, obviously, you know, and it's, you know, through the entire team, I think every one of us knows that we should have won that game. We all know we went up there. You know, obviously, we're already 0-1 in the division, and we wanted to, you know, get to even in the division and, you know, continue to, you know, move in the right direction like we have been. And so, yeah, we you kind of felt, you know, like the air was out of the balloon when we got in the room. But I think as a team, you know, just being in there the last 2 days, we also know who we are and know the situations that we lost. We didn't go up there and, you know, get, you know, smack downward now. God, we got to play them again in 3 weeks. This sucks. You know, we're going
to... Yeah, we get to play them again in 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're hungry. You know, I know we're excited to go back up there. We're going to go to the same place, stay in the same hotel, do the same thing, and be in the same city
again. How crazy is that, man? Like, playing in the same stadium back-to-back weeks, but against two different opponents?
It's absolutely... Yeah. That absolutely makes
sense. What's that travel day like? What do you guys leave? Do you guys leave that morning? Do you guys leave the night before?
No, but I feel like we should, right? It's only an hour up the...
No, you leave...
When you get a police escort,
you just cruise right up.
Yeah, about an hour up.
Bus leaves at like 2 o'clock. Yeah. Police escort up to a hotel in Jersey City, and then in the morning, a bus over to the stadium.
I think the drive from the hotel to the stadium is as long as the drive from here to the hotel.
Jersey City's actually nice.
Yeah,
it's not
that whole area is terrible. That stadium is terrible.
I saw so many Eagles fans injured. I went for a walk in the morning to like Target down the street, which is like on the way to Hoboken.
Target.
And there were so many Eagles fans.
That's everywhere.
But they weren't like there for the game. I think they just lived there.
But there was a lot of Eagles fans there. I mean,
at the game, there were a ton of Eagles
fans. I'm telling you, if you're retiring Michael Strahan's jersey, there shouldn't have been a green jersey in the stands, in my opinion.
There was also a lot of empty seats in the stands. We were talking about that in the first hour. It was unbelievable. Like, a franchise icon. First of all, why is it taking you 13 years to retire?
That is confusing.
To begin with, you know, like, but then you choose to do it against a division rival on Thanksgiving weekend, and you expect to like pack the house. I think that just goes to show how disgruntled the fan base is with Gettleman and Joe Judge and that roster because they can't stay healthy. It's insane. But Dave, you got something?
It's just a weird question for Alex. Did you guys come on the field and the ceremony was still going on?
Yeah, the ceremony was still
going
on.
It was long as heck, wasn't it?
And Strahan dapped up our team. The
whole thing was so bizarre. I know.
Was John Runyon there? I know.
No, he was at the Hall of Fame.
I know he was at the Hall of Fame, yeah. I know a lot of people were asking that question.
He was too busy giving out fines in the NFL office.
Hopefully none to Alex.
He whacked somebody. No, he whacked somebody big.
Alex, I know Dave had already asked like what the morale was like in the locker room after the game. You know, we see after wins, Coach Sirianni's, you know, addressing the team, and you know, and you guys love that when he goes, "I'll see you guys on Wednesday." You know, like, and that's really cool, the reaction that you guys give, because it's you get Tuesday off, but the last couple days being around the NovaCare Complex and leading into this game against the Jets, what's the morale? I know you said that you know you guys have been sitting there going, "Ah, well, we should have won that game." What's the morale been like? Has it been upbeat? Like, hey, we know what we need to do in order to address this and get it right so that we can beat the Jets before our bye week and we can go in to the bye week at 6-7.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's exactly what it was. Like I said, you know, Sunday it was kind of, you know, in the locker room getting dressed, everyone is, you know, hurt, defeated. You're like, you know, we got to get on this bus. We got to do that. We should be getting on this bus with another win. We should be excited to come back up here and let's win another one and go into the bye week. But, you know, that's not what happened. And, you know, but Monday when we came in, we do a team lift first. So the first thing we all do is we work out together. And it's the only time, usually like on Wednesdays, the offense and defense work out separately. We're in different meetings. So it's really the only time besides team meetings that we're all together. And it was kind of, you could just feel, you know, when we first got in, it was kind of still that lull. You could just kind of, you know, sense it. But, when, you know, then we warm up, and then we all go outside and run. But when we came in from running, you could kind of just feel this, like, this energy in the room that it was like, all right, you know, we're going to put in work right now. You know, it's been less than 24 hours, and, you know, you say, like, you know, banging around some weights. And that's what guys were doing. People were, you know, lifting heavy and, you know, the last week in November and kind of, you could feel the sense everyone was ready to go and, you know, really excited to kind of throw this one away and, you know, move on to the Jets.
Love the insight.
And by the way, I my belief is this also, and fans, I've said this before, there's nobody's ever bummed. Like, you're disappointed that you lost a game, but you are in the NFL. Everybody is there because they're exceedingly positive and they shake bad things off really fast. It's almost machine-like. I mean, I remember when I was younger, way younger, and, like, you know, seeing a coach at like 12:30, you know, washing our hands, going into the cafeteria, and going and like saying something about the game the day before, and they almost have trouble remembering what happened because they process it so fast, and you go to the next game. Nobody ever walks around bummed because they're in the NFL, right? Like, am I wrong?
Yeah, and I think, you know, even like to that, between, you know, me and TJ were on the same bus, so we watched the film, and then by the time we were about halfway down here, our coach had already FaceTimed us, we talked about it, and so it was kind of, you know, we had the meetings on Monday, but we had already gone through every, you know, all 65 plays between the three of us before we even got off the bus. So, you know, the tape was kind of, obviously we went through it again, you know, with the whole group, but it had already been watched, you know, kind of, you know, soaked on, and that was it. It was kind of done before we even got off the bus Sunday night.
Have you watched any tape on the Jets yet? Or is that tomorrow morning when you guys are back, you know, in team meetings?
Yeah, so the first one I actually watch is tonight because we got our first kind of, you know, the coaches kind of get after it. Monday when we leave the building at about 2:30, they start getting after first and second down. So I'll get the game plan probably as we're talking. So I will watch, you know, last week's game. And, you know, usually the week before that, but because of Zach Wilson, I'll probably watch the last game he played in. So those two games tonight, just kind of off what we're going to do. Because, you know, every week, you know, we talk about how much, you know, we kind of play to what they're going to do. So, you know, we never really know what the, you know, what we're going to run going into the week. So I like to know that before I just start watching film, because then you're just kind of watching plays to watch plays.
Without having watched the tape yet, like you said, you're probably going to get it, you know, during the course of our show and before you get home. What is something that you know about the Jets offense right now? I know they're one of the bottom feeders in the NFL as far as scoring points is concerned, and their defense is equally, actually, it's more awful. They're the worst defense in the whole league. What do you know already about the Jets before having studied the tape?
Yeah, I mean, we went there for a week and practiced with them. So, you know, we kind of know their system. They're that, you know, that Shanahan. You know, they're kind of around the same offense as the, you know, the 49ers.
So Robert Saleh has an offensive coordinator that runs that same system when he's a defensive coordinator there?
So exactly. They kind of run a little bit of the same system. That's kind of what we saw this summer. And, you know, obviously everyone knows how, you know, talented Zach Wilson can be. Obviously he's been hurt for the last few weeks. And, you know, hopefully if I ask Joe Flacco before the game, he gives me a little insight. He's here, you know.
The spy.
So, but yeah, you know, we know the talent he is. We know the talent they have. And, you know, like Dave said, it's the NFL. You know, every guy is ready to play, you know, in every game. So, you know, they're obviously going to want to beat us. You know, there's a little bad blood. I think we had a couple pushing contests in the summer. So there's going to be a lot of guys, you know, kind of ready to get back and actually, like, you know, prove who was better. You know, you have those 3 days, 2 or 3 days against each other, and you kind of hate them because you don't care if they make their team. You don't care. You know, they don't care if we make our team. And now you kind of, you know, 11 weeks later, 12 weeks later, get to be like, all right, here's who we are. Here's who you are. Let's see who
the real
actually,
deal now.
You know, who won this. And so it's kind of exciting for that aspect.
I got a question doubling back. We're jumping out of rhythm here. But back to the Giants.
We already watched that.
Yeah.
I was trying to get away from it.
My question is, because you were on the field, you were watching tape, you prepped for the game. Mm-hmm. New offensive coordinator calling plays this game. Garrett was fired, and did it look vastly different? I mean, you know, I know you're prepared, but you didn't see any of this before.
No, it wasn't huge. And Freddie Kitchens, you know, obviously it's not like it was his first game ever calling games. So, you know, he's a, you know, if you watch the Browns tape all the time, they run a lot of the duo, which is just doubles across the board, and they come downhill. And I assumed that they were going to do that a little more with Saquon, and they never really did. They didn't, you know, touch a bunch of the zone read, which they were, you know, really emphasizing before. And I think he's just kind of trying to learn what he likes. But I think, you know, we got off the field when we needed to, and so they Definitely. Couldn't really get into a rhythm. You know, I think their first 15, we kind of saw what they wanted to do, but it never really changed a ton. They did run some different pass concepts, but nothing that was too out of the ordinary from what they've already done, because it's, you know, too hard to change in a week. You know, you're not going to throw in a whole new system and kind of, you know, throw everybody off, especially with the amount of injuries they had. So it's kind of, it's tough when you're replacing guys in a midweek situation.
You know, that bus ride to North Jersey might be hell, but I'll tell you what, the one from Philadelphia to Bristol is not. When you go to Bucks County Baseball Company, the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. I'm sure they have some Philadelphia Union gear there as well, so make sure you stop over. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge, and the website is even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to dive a little bit further into the Jets game, and we're going to talk about Alex to set ourselves up for some kick-ass or jackass in the last segment here on Green Legion Radio, the Player Show, here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. We're starting to hit our stride here, Jansen. This is what I'm talking about. It makes me want to go home and watch American Pie tonight.
Have you heard the story of Wally Pipp and Lou Gehrig?
Yes.
Quimby who?
Yes. Actually, you're not the first person to tell me this week that I should do more hosting for Green Legion Radio. But I'll keep that to myself.
It wasn't me. I didn't say anything like that. It wasn't me at all. I would never think that.
I neither can confirm nor deny that allegation.
No, actually, you were watching it on the StreamYard video the other day when we were doing the pregame show. But thank you, Spuds. I appreciate that. Welcome back for our second and last segment here on the Green Legion Radio Players Show. I'm Chris Sack, sitting alongside Kyle / Nunnemaker, Michael Shut Up Diaz, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, Super Sam Brady, and Eagles linebacker, not insider, like I was saying in the last segment.
Oh, he knows a thing or two.
And special teams captain Alex Singleton. Alex, that was awesome stuff that you were providing to us. You took us into the locker room with things that I don't, you know, Dave obviously knows from being around the team for as long as he has been, but those are things that not the common fan gets to hear and gets to know, and I appreciate you sharing that type of information with us, not just your personal information, but like Monday, the weight room, and like the day after a loss. That's some great stuff, but I don't want a day after a loss story from you the next time we see you. I want nothing but W's from here on out. And diving in here, we kind of got into it in the last segment, but the Jets game this upcoming weekend. I don't think you know this, but as a player, the Eagles have never lost to the New York Jets.
Why would you even tell him that?
Because it's brought up every single time we play the Jets.
Way to have the sixth inning perfect game conversation.
Thanks, McCarthy.
It's okay. Okay. If the Eagles are going to win this week, but if they don't, we'll just blame Sam.
We're going to blame Sam? No,
yeah, we'll blame Sam.
No, you guys are going to blame me.
I like blaming Sam.
The good
Sam.
Thing is I won't be here on the player show next week, so we'll just leave it up to Sam being the one getting blamed.
We'll blame you, Sam.
But, yeah, 0-11 all time against the Eagles. So that sets up well for us. And we already touched on it, too. Robert Saleh, who is the head coach now of the New York Jets, he interviewed for the very same position that Coach Nick Sirianni had. It was right after his second interview that he had with the Jets. So he went down to Florida and met with Jeffrey Lurie, and then he took the job with the Jets. So that's another fun storyline, having two rookie head coaches going at it this weekend. And then if we're looking at this team as a whole, all right, we know that they're inept both offensively and defensively. Is there any part of this, of the Jets, that scares you? Is there something, like, I'm not asking this to Alex.
Yeah, it's having that exact attitude that you have that scares me, that will always scare me.
I won't say that I have it, but...
It doesn't matter, but, like, so they will play hard. They're coming off a win. They're NFL players, and we all know NFL players, anybody who's in the NFL is a great, great football player. They've got the number two draft pick in the NFL who has not had the breakout game, right? So he's got Moore is an excellent receiver.
Elijah Moore, yeah. That should be a good matchup with Slay.
They've gotten good running. They had a two-headed monster in the backfield last
Carter
week.
Carter got hurt.
Yeah, he's out. But Coleman is a proven NFL veteran. So, and you know, C.J. Mosley and Quinn Williams, and, you know, they get after the quarterback a bit. So, I mean, anything can happen. Like, the Eagles are a better football team. I believe that for sure. Go out and play. Be a better football team that day.
The Jets might be 3-8 on the season. They're 2-3 at home,
and they beat the.
They played well at home. They beat the Bengals,
and they beat
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. That's right. The number one seed. Right.
So I mean, like, Alex, do you ever even look at a record?
No, I mean, obviously you get told it during the week, but I don't think, like you said, I mean, isn't it any given Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not with the Jets,
it has been this season.
Have you ever? At what level of your football career? Okay, so in high school, I'm sure you just beat up everybody. Like, what did you ever go out there and just go, I'm just going to crush people tonight today? Like, I'm there's just no doubt. I'm going to just dominate and have almost a lack of respect for an opponent.
I think that's the difference. I don't. I think every game you go into, you better have the idea of you're going to crush the guy every single play.
I like
but you respect him. But you respect him. I don't think I've ever not. I don't
in
know.
High school, you respected every little twerp that you ran over?
No, but I feel like, I mean, my high school coach wouldn't have let us. Okay. One time we got, every kid in high school, you tape your cleats pink for, a breast cancer game. Looks cool. We spent about an hour in the locker room before the game we were playing a bad team. They were like 0-7. We were like 5-2. We were supposed to beat them by 50. We were losing into the fourth quarter, and our coach made us all take our tape off. I've never been. That was when you could, still beat kids.
Yeah.
And we got it. Let me tell you, we got it. Because I spat at every person for about 2 hours. In the back, our cleats looked nice, but this team that should not have played with us.
Did you pull the win out at least?
Yeah, we won.
Okay.
Ended up having like 4 or 5 sacks. Figured it out. But
yeah, you were respecting those. You were like running guys over.
But that would be the last time. That's when you can't. It's exactly. A game, like you said, everybody's so good. And I don't care. I always say the scariest guy is the guy coming, off the sideline, off the practice squad, because he's just waiting for his opportunity.
We've seen that over the years here. And Boston Scott and Greg Ward.
Well, and what's interesting, the Jets, Elijah Riley is starting for the Jets right now as a safety. And he was with us this year. And like everybody's happy for his success. And knows he's a really good football player, and now he has a chance to show it. And so even though the Jets don't have the name players, they've got a bunch of young players who are fighting for their NFL lives, and that makes them very dangerous. Very dangerous. Man. And by the way, the Eagles are going into the bye week, and so anybody who's like making their vacation plans for next week, are they going to be focused on what's happening on Sunday?
Does that mean you're planning your vacation for next week?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're allowed to ask, or are you
allowed
to say?
My birthday's next Tuesday.
Happy
early birthday.
Oh, are you like trying to ask for a Green Legion Radio birthday party? Yeah. That's what you're looking for.
No, I will be out of town.
Someone was saying on the message board earlier, are we allowed to offer up Quimby's Maserati again this week?
Yes. Yes,
I mean, yeah, we are. Why not?
Yeah, get a sack. Pick six. You got it for the month.
I know. Why not?
Wait, that's on the record. Diaz is throwing around your Maserati.
Actually, at least a week.
Diaz normally throws around Quimby's money for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't have that kind of clout. I mean, everybody, obviously, Spuds over here is saying, Wally Pipping. Yeah, are you calling Quimby
Wally Pip?
Okay, so he's Wally Pip. Okay,
he's out.
Luke Gehrig, man.
You're
Luke
Gehrig.
Okay, all right,
roll with it.
Quimby's like Dick Clark. God.
Do you know that reference? So back in the old, 1920s.
Before our time.
The Yankees' first baseman was a guy named Wally Pipp, and he was, like, sick one day. This young guy, Luke Gehrig, stepped in for him to play first base.
That is.
And he started, 1,400 straight games.
No, it's about 2,400.
It was 2,400?
Yeah.
Tough career.
And the only reason why that streak ended was because he had what's now known as
ALS,
Lou Gehrig's disease. So, but yeah, great baseball knowledge right there, Dave. I love it. Diaz, why don't we?
Ask one question? And it's a good question. I think for everybody listening, and I know there's a very large audience, it's something that NFL players really believe in. The NFL really believes in. This weekend we're doing a My Cause, My Cleats. And I'm not sure if it's multiple weekends or whatever, but what is your cause? What are your cleats?
Yes, this is one of my favorite weeks, my favorite cause, my favorite everything. Obviously my favorite person I get to represent. So it's My Cause, My Cleats this weekend. We get to wear them in the Jets, and my cleats are sweet because it is Special Olympics. And that's, obviously the foundation I support, and it's because of my older sister, Ashley. And so, I will post them actually after this. I got my pictures on the way here. They're these sweet red cleats. On one side has Special Olympics, has the city, obviously Philadelphia, who I'm raising money for with tackling inclusion and the inclusion revolution all season long as it is. And then on the other side, it's Ashley. It has Ashley on it and her favorite sport, swimming, on those. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Pretty sweet. I love to wear them. And, it's, kind of her week to kind of get the spotlight. And, she deserves more than anything, and so does Special Olympics. So it's pretty cool to be able to do that.
So for fans who want to support Alex, how do they do that?
Yes, for, My Cause, My Cleats, if you go to NFL.com, I think you can go to any player, and all the foundations are online. And then mine is, if you go to pledgeit.org/Alex-Singleton, there is the tackle inclusion, and it's pretty much every tackle I have, a dollar amount that you want, or just one donation goes to tackling inclusion, which goes to Special Olympics Philadelphia. And you know, all the money goes straight to them.
That sounds like a great idea, except you've been making a lot of tackles lately. So that's a lot of money out of pocket. Gotta figure out what that magic
Now we know what the reason's for, you know.
I want to see these cleats, man. I'm dying to see these
they
cleats.
They started posting some of them online. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Alex is up there, but the Eagles have started to
awesome.
Yeah.
Now you say her favorite sport is swimming.
Yep.
Does she swim?
Oh yeah, she swims.
What kind of events does she do?
Oh, she does. You know, she'll kill me for getting it wrong. She does the individual medley, which is all four strokes.
Sounds right.
Backstroke.
Freestyle.
Breaststroke. And
butterfly.
Butterfly. Thank you. She'll be happy. I know she's listening, so I know right now she's hyped at this moment right now. So
that's awesome.
That's
great, man. Diaz, I know you had some things that you wanted to go into as well.
Dave,
Diaz, take over.
Dave, you stepped on my Special Olympics that I want to ask about. But so what we thought would be interesting, since we know so much about you, since you're the first three-time guest on Green Legion Radio.
I don't know why you keep coming back.
He only came back because Quimby wasn't going to be here.
So much quieter.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to dig it. I'm going to do the Jimmy Kimmel segment or whoever does it. I'm going to go digging into the old tweets.
Oh, God.
Now let me say this, though. You've got nothing. You're squeaky clean. This is all I see is stuff about Montana State. I see Calgary Stampeders. I see Calgary Flames. And I see the Special Olympics. A lot of Special Olympics stuff.
Let's look at Diaz's old tweets.
We'll
get somewhere on that one.
Very accurate Sixers tweets from 2015. But I did notice you represent for Special Olympics right now the city of Philadelphia. But there was something that was – there was a little bit of controversy you created. It looks like 2 weeks ago. You did attend one of the Philadelphia Flyers games. And you were in a box. The thing is, though, you were wearing red during that game. You're sporting the Calgary Flames gear, and the Calgary Flames official account retweeted your picture there. Explain yourself to the Philadelphia fans.
So, for 3 years, when the NFL didn't want me, a league in Canada called the Canadian Football League, who the Calgary Stampeders drafted me, who are owned by the Calgary Flames, so they paid my checks for 3 years. You know,
was that jersey free?
Supported my living.
All the explanation you need. Yeah.
That's a borderline okay reason.
I think that's pretty damn good reason.
That's pretty good reason. Okay.
I'm a Calgary Flames fan when they come to town.
Let that one slide. Let me ask you
this. Hey, Johnny Gaudreau's from here.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch any Flyers game where they play against him or Bobby Ryan, that's all they talk about. South Jersey native, Johnny Gaudreau, and Bobby Ryan.
And he couldn't give me tickets because he gets like 300 tickets for the local hockey kids to go.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Are you in big with the hockey guys? Is there like a mutual respect society?
Yeah.
Cool.
Carter Hart lives in my building. You know,
No. Now you're going to have Zach stalking you.
Listen, if you can get him on the player show next week, I'll be here on Tuesday.
Are they here on Tuesday?
We are.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Well, I know. You guys are
A question, though, about Special Olympics that you were posting all about that. I haven't done it probably, I guess, since before the pandemic here, but it appears to me that maybe the polar plunge is coming out here. Oh, is this something coming. like you love the cold? I'm not that good with it, but are you involved with that here locally?
Oh yeah, you know, if I'm here, I'm in it. It's, you know, I think the Polar Plunge is, you know, one of the best events they put on, and yeah, I believe it's coming up late January.
January.
For
okay.
some reason, I want to say January 25th, and you know, since we'll still be playing,
that's right.
It'll be very
right
easy to be able to get not just myself. We'll have a player show, obviously, that week. Or we'll be on, and then, you know, a lot of the guys on the team will go.
Hey, listen.
But it is the best event.
That'll be Super Bowl prep time, so I'm not sure it's a great idea to have everybody running into the ocean.
We do it anyways.
Super Bowl's like Valentine's Day now.
It is. Actually, I think it is Valentine's
Alex,
Day.
Alex, just so you know, for next week, if you want to talk to Carter Hart for us, they're home on Monday night against the Avalanche, and then they're at the Jersey Devils on Wednesday. So he is available on Tuesday.
But who knows? They could travel Tuesday like we do and just kind of get like slumped into some hotel in North Jersey like we do.
Are you going to get the same room at the hotel in Jersey City?
You know, I at least I'll know because I was in room 9/11, which I thought.
I was in 5/12. So I gotta tell you, it felt great to be on the road because I haven't traveled this year. It's because
Dave's
of all
the giddy.
COVID.
They love me. God, they like me. They really like me.
I can't. Deny.
I know. Alex
it's very
was saying.
Now I know which room to charge my
food. Very difficult. That's
hard. No, I know Alex was saying earlier that he wanted Sean Bradley to get voted onto the Pro Bowl team so he could go back to Vegas. Are you going to stay at the same hotel that the team stayed at? Because there was no gambling that was allowed in that hotel. That
no.
You guys stayed at. Remember that?
No, I would not stay at that
hotel. I think
hotel.
You were with us right after the Vegas game.
Yeah, I would make sure not to stay at that hotel. I would actually, you know, sacrifice a lot of things to not stay at that hotel again. So, no. Yeah, I would be. I'm more of like a, you know, Cosmo guy. So.
Well, now, things are different, though, when you go to the Pro Bowl, right? So, like, they're not going to stick them at a hotel where there's no gambling involved, right? I mean, it has to be different with the Pro Bowl as compared to, like, when you're there to play an actual game. I mean,
if you're in the Pro Bowl, you know, technically, you know, I think it's still NFL. So those guys won't be allowed to. But if you're visiting your friends in the Pro Bowl, you can stay wherever
you're,
you
you're not allowed to be in a sports book.
Yeah.
All year. You're not allowed to. If you're an employee of the NFL, you are not allowed to be in a sports book.
And Davis found out multiple times.
The whole. No. Like just the season or the calendar year?
The whole year.
The whole year.
Wow.
We can't. Yeah, you can't bet on anything. And then as a team, which I didn't know, so that's why we stayed on a casino that doesn't have a. Or why we stayed at a hotel that doesn't have a casino is because during. If it's an NFL sanctioned event, you can't. Gamble at all.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even go put $100 in the slot machine.
And, like, if you're in a fantasy football league, which I'm not sure how many players are in fantasy football leagues, but employees are, you're not allowed to be in a league where the cash prize is exceeds 250 bucks.
Oh, yeah. God. What's the point of the league?
Yeah.
Bragging rights?
It's because the NFL is and I agree with it, actually, cannot be associated with gambling in any way.
That's true, but like fantasy sports, I mean, it's completely different. You know, if Alex is in a fantasy league that the you know everyone puts $1,000 in or $500 in or something like that, I mean,
he'll be like in the finals and like he'll be like, okay, I've got CeeDee Lamb on my team. All right, we're up 30-17. There's like 4 seconds left.
Let him score.
Does he make the tackle?
Smack him.
that's the worry.
He's a cowboy. You always smack him.
Oh man! All right, so the Green Legion. God, why is Quimby giving me a live read to talk about the Caesar's Palace for the Eagles at the Raiders game?
Because he's not here. So
all right, you know what? I'm just going to give another one to my friend, Dave Bavuso.
There you go.
You deserve to get good service and great rates at State Farm. We get it, and we're here to help because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Bavuso about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up in our last segment, Alex Singleton's going to still hang out with us as we do New York Jets kick-ass or jackass? Oh, this should be great with Michael Shut Up Diaz right after this on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Back to the Green Legion Radio Player Show here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler for the final segment alongside Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton. We're bringing you into the line change from 7 to 10 with John Jansen. You get to hear that bag of hot air talk for the next 3 hours after we're done.
Does he have a new Mitchell Ness hat yet? Is he still rocking that blue hat?
Do you have a new joke about that, that Mitchell Ness hat?
It'll never end.
No, you've only been a dad for so long.
It'll never die.
Jesus.
Oh, God. I'm Chris Sack alongside Kyle / Nunnemaker, Michael Diaz, Super Sam Brady, and again, Eagles linebacker Alex Singleton. Appreciate you coming on once again with us. The first three-time guest on the Green Legion Radio Player Show. It is a distinguished honor.
Well on the way. I think at 5, I told him earlier, you get a jacket with a patch on it.
Well, actually, you get Quimby's Maserati for a full week.
I thought that was 3.
You could get that this week. Touchdown, big sack, interception.
Tackle.
Hey. Oh. There's only one big sack at this time.
Guys, come on, stop.
Hey, you're lactating. That's what you're doing. All right,
let's get to it.
Hey, we've stayed clean this whole show. All right, without Jari Evans or Hollis Thomas, this show has stayed pristine. No cursing on this show tonight.
You take your douche, you don't sit there and look at it.
You got it. You got it. Right, Alex, you don't sit there and look at it. You got to flush it.
Correct. I like that Giants game. Flush it down and let's move on.
Yes, absolutely. Let's move on. All right, so without further ado, it is time for our favorite segment on Green Legion Radio, Kick Ass or Jackass, the New York Jets.
I'm going through Kick Ass or Jackass topics for the New York Jets. I call them the New Jersey Jets because the...
Did you add the one that I needed you to have on
there?
Yes,
it's on there. Of course it is. Everyone knows this. But it's so extensive, I had to focus primarily on the last 10 years. And I still have, you know, 12 or 15 different items.
Okay. So Jansen, we might be going till 10 o'clock
tonight. So Alex, I know you participated in this before. But just to refresh... You're going to start out. We're going to go to the left here, and we're going to end up with Slash. Sam, are you going to participate? You're going to get close to the mic? And
I don't care. That's up to you.
Okay, good.
All right, you're
what
in.
Are you even doing here?
We need
exactly.
a female point of
what are you
of,
even doing?
Hey, you leave her alone. She's going to help us clean
yeah,
this
I'm
stuff
the one
up,
who's
unlike
clean
you.
It up, not you.
That's right. She's here to pack up. Okay, so just Kick Ass or Jackass, you tell us. You start us off here, Mr. Linebacker, captain of the Philadelphia Eagles, Alex Singleton. Geno Smith gets his jaw broken by a teammate over a $600 debt. Kick ass or jackass?
Wow.
His name was, I think he was an ex-Eagle, too.
I think he was.
IK.
You looking that up,
is,
Slash?
It's a name I can't pronounce. Is that a kick ass move or a jackass move?
It's a jackass move.
It's a jackass move.
It's definitely jackass.
If you have a debt, you pay it. Jackass.
Yeah, I think that's a unanimous jackass.
You know it's not
Geno Smith, though. Also jackass.
Actually, he might be a better quarterback for the Seahawks right now than Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Hey,
that's
listen.
That's a story for another day.
You're the starting quarterback, and you get your jaw broken over $600 debt is pretty jackass. All right, we'll throw this one out here a sec. This is the obvious one. The butt fumble.
And I grew up a USC fan, too. So kind of kick-ass that it kind of ruined Mark Sanchez's career. But it's a jackass play.
The actual event, I would say, is kick-ass.
It was Thanksgiving, and it was the first year that we got rid of the traditional Thanksgiving in my household. Everybody, like my parents, all of us, we decided, listen, let's just do pizzas and wings and
so
get drunk and play games. Well, so we're sitting there at the table, and everyone's getting drunk, and I'm sitting there. I forget what we were playing, and I look over at the TV, and it's Patriots, Jets. And I turn, and I was the only one that saw it live. It was so kick-ass. It was awesome. It's still to this day one of my favorite things ever. The butt fumble's fantastic.
Yeah, that's the ultimate brown nosing. I'm going to go kick-ass on that one as well.
Kick-ass for the fans. I agree. How about this one here? Alex Singleton, tell me, kick-ass or jackass, Rex Ryan's foot fetish?
Ew.
Oh, God.
What is that? I never even heard of it.
You never heard of Rex Ryan's
you never
foot
heard
fetish?
Dude, he
unless
has a,
I forgot about it.
He had
it.
A picture in his office of his wife's feet.
Yeah, yeah. They discovered on one of these unsavory-type websites, there was a
were they hot or
foot fetish thing, and there was someone filming a woman's feet, and people were like, you know, that sounds a lot like Rex Ryan.
Anytime I hear anything
out,
about feet, it's Rex
out,
Ryan.
It was Rex Ryan. So is that kick-ass or jackass?
I mean, anything he's probably into is jackass.
It's gross. Out. It's jackass.
I love my wife with every fiber of my being. The one thing I will not touch on her is her feet. I just won't do it. That's jackass.
Yeah, no, that's jackass for sure. Although there has been a lot worse with, you know, coaches.
That is jackass. All right, how about this one here? Bill Belichick quits the New York Jets on a napkin one day after accepting the job and minutes before his introductory press conference. Alex Singleton, kick-ass or jackass? Quitting on a napkin before your introductory press conference.
I mean, if he was confident in knowing what he was about to go do, kick-ass.
Everything he does is jackass.
I'm right there with you, Alex. Like, he is not Bill Belichick if he does not sign that damn napkin and get the hell out of the Jets, you know, out of that office.
Same division, too?
Seriously, man. Yo, he just upped and left. Yo, kick-ass. That's a boss move.
There was no paper towels around. He had to resort to a napkin. It's kick-ass.
Sam, sorry, I know you're just a hater, but that's a kick-ass move. All right, Mr. Alex Singleton, kick-ass or jackass? Brett Favre's Richard picks.
Oh, God.
Kick-ass or jackass?
Did you really? Did you really put that on?
I'm not saying you had to see them. I'm just saying the move. Is that kick-ass or jackass?
We're going to flush it and move on.
It's jackass. He could have. That didn't need to be part of his name. Ever.
It's jackass because there's nothing attractive about that area for any woman ever for them to get the pictures. Period. So, no, jackass.
It's complete jackass.
It is jackass. Awareness. A complete jackass, Brett Favre. But in that same vein, kickass or jackass? Nope. Jen Sturgeon.
Oh, jeez. Oh. I'm sounding like,
jackass,
sound
Jen
like,
Sturgeon.
I'm sounding like Tank over
she
here.
She was the recipient of the Brett Favre, Richard picks.
Can we just plead the fifth? Or
Dude, I'm married and I'm not pleading the fifth. She's kick ass.
All right, we'll fill in the blank for you. Kick ass.
Said kick ass.
We're not covering that one up. She is kick ass.
10 out of 10 kick
ass. Oh,
yes.
Without a doubt.
How about this one? I don't know what game exactly this was, but the GIF is used all the time. Kick ass or jackass? Bart Scott after post game. Can't wait.
Oh, Sal Palantonio.
Sal Palantonio.
Yeah. So yeah, when they were going to the AFC Championship game, and Sal Palantonio had him on the field after the game, and he's like, good luck next week. He's like, can't wait. Best kick ass.
All right, kick ass for Saki. Stepped in. What did he say, Alex?
Ever since he talked about shaving his eyebrows for us when he doesn't have much, I'm out on him. So jackass.
Oh, I never said I like Bart Scott. Don't get it confused. I don't want you to hit me.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't see it, but it sounded legit.
Good take, Sam.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for showing up, Sam.
Thanks for coming, Sam.
It was an ultimate hype moment. I got to go kick ass. But Bart, I agree. Bart Scott, jackass.
Jackass. All right, kick ass or jackass? Vernon Goldston, the only defensive end drafted in the top 10 to never record a sack. Kick ass or jackass?
Wow. I mean, I'm not going to go either way. That just sucks.
Jackass.
That means Marcus Smart had one?
No, Marcus Smith.
Marcus Smith.
Was it Marcus Smith? Yeah. Boston Celtics.
But he was in top 10.
Yeah, but even
Marcus
then.
Marcus Smith was in top 10. He was like 19.
Yeah, well.
He didn't fall into one?
Listen, we're terrible.
Nah, he was only in the league for three years.
I can't really talk about our drafting. It sucks. So, jackass, though.
That's the Malik company he's in, so that's got to be jackass.
It is jackass is the correct answer. Here's another draft topic here. 2005, kickass or jackass?
Hit us with it, Diaz. What do you got?
In 2005, the New York Jets used their first draft pick, it was in the second round, to take a kicker, Mike Nugent. Kickass or jackass?
I mean, for terrible picking, that's kind of kickass, but probably a jackass move.
Jackass.
You just don't draft a kicker. It's kick-ass.
No.
Jackass, though.
Who did Tampa draft a couple years
Aguayo
ago?
Aguayo or something.
Aguayo, yes.
Yeah, but he was cut.
But he was terrible. That's what I'm saying. It's jackass. I'd rather have Ted Nugent.
We're on a show here. We have Alex Singleton with us. He came through Calgary Stampeders. We have Hollis Thomas, who had like a 15-year career undrafted. Why would you ever draft a kicker? Take a chance on a guy that you might be think a tweener.
Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, Jordan. I mean, what the? A kicker.
Diaz, we got about a minute and a half.
So all right, we'll do a couple more.
Give me your next, your best two left.
My best two left
like
here. Okay, here's an easy one for you. Kick-ass or jackass? Fireman Ed.
What is Fireman
Ed? Oh, Fireman Ed. Yeah. Oh, so you'll see him here this weekend.
He gets on the shoulders of his fellow buddy fan. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see.
Jackass.
He wears a painted Jets fireman hat, and he does the stupid Eagles ripoff, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Jackass.
Jackass.
He's a fireman, so he's kick-ass on that end of things. But he's a jackass because he's a fan of the Jets.
Yeah, jackass.
Jackass. When you score that touchdown this weekend, be sure to hand Fireman Ed the football out.
One more, Diaz.
One more. All right, let's go. How about this? The last 10 seasons, the Jets have 54 wins. Kick-ass or jackass?
That's tough. That just sucks.
Sorry to bring you down here, Alex. I know it's a depressing
The depression
topic.
In your voice. 5.4
You're in the league, so you can abstain.
Yeah.
Jackass.
Kickass. I love to see other franchises fail.
That is jackass. Listen, the Eagles are 11-0 versus the Jets. Alex, you're going to bring home a win this weekend. We're going to go 12-0. We're going to go on a run right here. We're going to 5 in a row, and we're going to be, what is that, 10-6?
Turn his mic
10-7.
Turn his mic off.
Make the playoffs. Let's go.
Listen, Diaz is jackass because we went through kick-ass or jackass, the Jets edition, and no one mentioned Susie Colbert. and Joe Namath.
Well, I had the Richard pick.
Which is one of the greatest things of all time. No, you should have left that out and put that one on.
Oh, Namath's a legend for that one.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Green Legion Radio Player Show. Alex Singleton, as always, it's a pleasure, my friend, for you joining us this evening. And Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, who had to step out just a little bit early. And alongside Kyle / Nunnemaker, Michael Shut Up Diaz, Super Sam Brady, and John Jansen back in studio, I'm Chris Sack. Saying good night, everyone, and go Birds this Sunday. Let's take down those Jets. Stay tuned for the Line Chains with John Jansen coming up right now on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler.